prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Proverbs 24:27. Hi, I'm Rob West. That verse underscores the need for planning and execution, key elements for long-term financial success. Matt Bell joins us today to talk about putting planning and execution to work for you. And we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Matt Bell is the managing editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. Matt's an author and a frequent contributor here. And Matt, great to have you back.
Hi, Rob. Great to be back.
So, Matt, there's a great article about our topic in the latest Sound Mind Investing newsletter titled Planning and Execution, the Keys to Long-Term Financial Success. And my guess is that all the planning in the world doesn't matter if you don't execute, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Rob. To be successful, you just can't have one without the other. But it's essential to get the ball rolling with that first step, with that plan process. So, you know, there's a saying that life happens to us when we're making other plans. Well, unfortunately for a lot of people, it seems a more accurate phrase is that life happens while we're making no plans. The fact is that millions of people don't have a plan to guide their use of money. And even those who start to put together something of a plan, many end up allowing themselves to get pulled off course. I think, you know, as basic as this sounds, I think a lot of people just don't realize what a huge impact, what a huge benefit it is to put a plan together and to follow through.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And clearly there is some empirical evidence for this that you cite in the article. Share that with us.
Sure. Yeah, there was some interesting research done back in 2011. Researchers analyzed data from more than 1,200 people over the age of 50. They looked at the type of financial planning these people did or didn't do and how that influenced ultimately their net worth at retirement. It was pretty interesting. So they grouped people into four categories. The first noteworthy finding was that two-thirds of people in this first category did no planning whatsoever, even though their retirement was close at hand. Many had never even taken the step to learn what to expect from Social Security, and that's a pretty simple thing to find out.
Yeah.
Now, in contrast to this big group of non-planners, a second group, people that the researchers called simple planners, they had at least thought about what their financial needs might be in their later years, and they tried to calculate how much of their income they should be setting aside for the future. But that's really where the good news ended for this group. Their follow-through was lacking, with only about half of these simple planners creating an actual plan. Then there was a third group, which researchers called serious planners. They took more action. They sought out more financial information. They even paid for some planning advice. But just like the group before them, their follow-through wasn't the best. About half of these serious planners failed to follow through. And then there was the last group, which researchers called successful planners. They were the ones who put together a financial plan and actually followed through over the course of many years. And out of all the people studied, though, only about 20% made it to this level.
Yeah, that's a helpful overview. So, Matt, in that four-step continuum from non-planners to successful planners, is it only that last group that benefited from planning, or is there some hope for all the rest?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob. And yes, the good news is there is some hope for all the rest. The research, this was really interesting, clearly showed a benefit of taking even a small step toward planning. For example, just moving up one notch from being a non-planner to a simple planner, that doubled or tripled net worth at retirement. And then moving up to the serious planning category, that added another 25 to 35%.
Yeah. All right, Matt, we've got just about a minute left. Sum this up. What is the take-home message here?
Sure. So basically, it can be summed up really well by Proverbs 21:5, which says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit." So for those who are listening, if you haven't started the planning process, or maybe you have a plan, but you're not really following it, I hope you're encouraged by this research that shows there's a lot to be gained by getting back on track. You know, as you know, Rob, at SMI, our members have access to a pretty sophisticated planning tool called Money Guide. But even using one of the free online planning calculators that can be found easily, that would be a really good starting point for a lot of people.
Yeah, the key is just to start somewhere. Well, Matt, we always appreciate our time with you, and we appreciate you stopping by today.
My pleasure, Rob.
That's Matt Bell, managing editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can read the article. It's worth the read. Planning and Execution, the Keys to Long-Term Financial Success at soundmindinvesting.org. That's soundmindinvesting.org. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance. So we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
A few weeks ago, my wife and I were walking into church, and we noticed a friend of ours. She was sitting in the pew and crying silently. Now, in a moment like that, it can be tempting to walk past that person, ignoring them, and tell yourself that you're doing that person a favor by not embarrassing them further. But that's not what Jesus models for us. John 11:35 tells us Jesus wept in public. Psalm 58 says that God puts our tears in a bottle. In other words, our sorrows don't go unnoticed. In fact, God remembers every one. And the Bible promises one day Jesus will wipe away every tear. And in the meantime, that's a ministry we've been given to do for each other. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
American Family Association would like to thank everyone who participated in our Target boycott. AFA declared the boycott when Target announced it would allow men into women's dressing rooms and restrooms. Since the start of the boycott, Target lost over $2 billion in stock value. They've scaled back LGBT Pride Month products and added single-occupancy restrooms. Other corporations also reconsidered their policies in light of the Target boycott. Since it served its purpose, AFA has officially ended our Target boycott.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, by the way, perhaps you're not in a place where you can call in right now, but you still have a question. Well, you can send that to us by email. We'd love to receive it. We try to get one to two emails on the broadcast each day. I'll read them, and we'll even try to get you that response in case you didn't hear it. But if you'd like to send it along, pass your email to us at askrob@faithfi.com. That email address again, simply AskRob@faithfi.com. We'd love to hear your questions. Before we head to those phones, in the news today, millennials are experiencing significant financial growth, with median wealth for younger millennials and older Gen Zers more than quadrupling in recent years. The number of millennials with seven-figure retirement accounts has surged. Their collective net worth has now risen to nearly $16 trillion. Despite these financial gains, traditional retirement is no longer the primary goal for many. Instead of planning to stop working entirely, many millennials prioritize financial flexibility and an active lifestyle. In fact, a 2024 Edelman Financial Engines report found that 37% want a retirement different from previous generations, and 32% expect they will never fully retire. Economic shifts, including the decline of pensions and rising financial obligations like student loans, mortgages, and childcare, have reshaped retirement expectations. With increased earnings and wealth, millennials still feel financial pressure. Many are navigating multiple priorities at once, making retirement less about quitting work and more about having the freedom to choose meaningful work later in life. For them, retirement today is really about flexibility rather than an end to work altogether. Now, I like a lot of what I'm hearing about that because I agree this idea of an endless vacation really isn't the big idea, as far as I'm concerned, when we look at this through the lens of Scripture. So what does a biblical retirement look like? I think that really is the question. Well, before we look at that, perhaps we could take a moment and start with the cultural view of retirement. You see, retirement is an idea with a history. The history of retirement began in America around the idea of a never-ending vacation. Wake up and live in Sun City for the an active way of life, said the radio advertisement of Del Webb back in the 60s. Wake up and live in Sun City, Mr. Senior Citizen and wife. Don't let retirement get you down. Be happy in Sun City. It's a paradise town. You know, retirement communities started appearing in the 20s, and it was the real estate developer Del Webb Sun City, this sprawling housing development for seniors that was built outside of Phoenix, Arizona, that popularized retirement as a year-round vacation beyond World War II here in America. Well, today, the let's vacation narrative about retirement really dominates, with millions of men and women saving for the quote, blessed day when they don't have to work any longer. However, I think there are a number of problems with this paradigm. My friend Jeff Hanen writes about this in his book, An Uncommon Retirement. I think first, most Americans can't afford this vision. Second, many believers think that a life of self-focused leisure doesn't square with their worldview as Christ followers. But third, this view often leads minimally to boredom and sometimes to even despair and even health challenges as well. You know, after an initial honeymoon period for most, retirement becomes filled with primarily two activities, home maintenance and watching a screen. And the reality is, as believers, Christians can do better, and there is a biblical worldview of retirement. You know, rather than seeing retirement as a never-ending vacation, the Bible describes it as laying down past work identities and entering a new season of rest and renewal and re-engagement as elders, filled with wisdom and blessing for a coming generation. Though the Bible doesn't speak directly to the modern social construct of retirement, it does hit at the maturing of vocation over the lifetime or over your lifetime. And you would know it well from the book of Numbers, where we see that idea that the Levitical priests went into retirement. But keep in mind, they were hauling around the furniture of the tabernacle. That was physically demanding. God commanded the older men to lay down the heavy work and give it to the younger priests. Well, in contrast to either a vision of aging as the retirement dream or the work till you drop scenario, I think Scripture is realistic about aging and the need to lay down past responsibilities. You know, doing the hard work of disassociating our identity from work in early retirement requires an intentional space to rest and reflect and even to seek renewal. And perhaps the first step in renewing a vision of retirement is to prepare men and women not for the complete cessation of work, but for a sabbatical, maybe an intentional 3, 6, or 12 months of rest and interior renewal to heal from past wounds and reorient the heart toward trust and worship and even justice. And I think the Bible suggests that we all need not just days of rest, but seasons of rest as well, as we see in Leviticus 25. Early retirement is the perfect time for just such a period of reflection and healing. But the Bible paints this picture of elders, which were once associated with wisdom and character and leadership ability, the assumed fruit of experience and age. Far from being an insult, the Hebrew term for elder is used as an indication of one's nobility. The elder taught at the city gate, the ancient place for public dialogue. We see that in Job 32. Today, I think we'd be wiser to recover older traditions of honoring our elders, including the work they do later in life. And rather than endless conversations about maximizing financial benefits of retirement, we can embrace a vision of elders as community leaders and giving generously to a coming generation of their insight and their money and their time and their talent and, yes, their prayers as well. And so perhaps we need to rediscover this different view of retirement, because the secular vision of retirement really is weighed down with images of sailboats and gag retirement gifts and maybe picking up shells on the seashore. But the Bible has a very different vision of aging. Listen to this passage from God's Word. It says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar of Lebanon," writes the psalmist. "They are planted in the house of the Lord, the flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green." That's Psalm 92. You know, the biblical call in retirement, I think, is certainly to faithful stewardship, but not just our finances. Our deeper call is the stewardship of all that we have, our experiences and our skills and our very lives, for the well-being of others. You know, Christians hope that aging is really about understanding that it's the beginning, perhaps, of that life that is truly life that we read about in 1 Timothy. It's not one of heroism nor hedonism, but I think listening to God's voice and responding in love as elders, intent on sharing wisdom and blessing with the next generation, it's simply a life of service, pointing beyond ourselves to the servant in whose image we are made. And I hope that's an encouragement to you. I know this is a topic that a lot of our listeners are thinking about, and maybe this gave you a different perspective. Back with more after this. Stick around.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All the lines are full, so we'll dive in. We're going to go to Pennsylvania to begin. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call today.
Absolutely.
Well, I have a little different question for you.
Okay.
I am just getting out of long-term homelessness. I was just able to get an efficiency apartment a couple of months ago, and I applied for disability, but I do not know how long that is all going to take. With all of the circumstances that happened over the last 4 years, I have absolutely nothing left except for about $5 that's holding my checking account open, my savings, and I have about $15 to $20 in my checking account. And I have a very old car that needs a lot of repairs because of living in it for so long. So right now, what I'm trying to do is I really desperately need someone to help me put a plan in place so that hopefully I do get the disability and then I will have something set in place for when I get it so I'm ready to go. As soon as I get that, then the housing will be based on that income, so then I will have to pay some for rent, and then I'll have utilities, but then I need to do something to maintain and get hopefully ahead. I'm only 54, but I have a lot of injuries that are very, very limiting because my work was very physical, and I don't have a lot of training on things like computers and things. And if I have a sit-down job, you know, I can't do that without training.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you have a clear understanding of where you're headed. I realize, you know, there's a lot that's on you right now, and there's a lot that's coming, and I appreciate that you want to be prepared for that as best you can and think through a path forward so that as you start to have income coming in, that you've got a plan that doesn't catch you by surprise and you're ready for the amount you'll need to allocate to your apartment and your car and starting to, you know, automate some savings and, you know, even $5 or $10 a month, putting that aside just so you start building that up. I want to send you a workbook, and I'd be happy if at some point, you know, you're ready for a financial counselor to walk alongside you, we could help with that as well. But our friends at Compass Financial Ministry, the ministry that Howard Dayton founded, you may know that name, just came out with a brand new workbook. It's a video study workbook. It's called Making Ends Meet. And we're going to send you the physical workbook, but it really is designed for this situation where, you know, you're overwhelmed by your finances, you're in survival mode, you're trying to put a plan together to get through the next day and then the next week and then the next month. And it really kind of focuses on both the practical as well as those principles from God's word to move from surviving on your journey to thriving and experiencing financial health and hope. It covers things like getting advice and saving and family and, you know, credit scores and planning and spending plans. And each lesson has a 10-minute video that you'll be able to access. And I think it will not only teach you some of these key principles, but also help you put that plan in place so that you're ready to begin to make some key decisions and manage your spending plan moving forward. Would that be helpful to you? Oh, it looks like we lost you. So let's do this. If you'd like to call back in, I'd be happy to have our team get your information, Lynn, and we'll get Making Ends Meet right out to you. By the way, folks, in your church, or if you're in this situation yourself, or you know someone who's in really a struggling or more of a desperate financial situation, there's been just for so long a lack of resources for folks that are really in that struggling category. You know, if we think about our financial categories of from struggling to solid to surplus, you know, those in the struggling category, you know, really are at a different place and really need different assistance. And this new resource from Compass that you'll find at their website, Compass Financial Ministry, it's called Making Ends Meet, and I highly recommend it. It could be a great resource for you or for a friend or family member or perhaps for your church. All right, let's go to Boston. Hi, Sally. Go ahead.
This is Sally from the Boston area. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. I love Boston. What a beautiful place.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 65 and I work full time. My husband's going to turn 70 in September. He's working full time and he hasn't started collecting his Social Security because he was told that he would not be able to put any money into his retirement account or his HSA. So I wanted to figure that out if he should start collecting or if I should consider retiring early. I know my full retirement's like 66 in 10 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, for him, it's an absolute yes, because once you reach age 70, your benefits are no longer increasing. And so there is no reason to wait any longer. He should begin taking his benefits immediately. And I'm glad he waited. That's great. That's going to get that check up as high as possible. But there's not any reason to wait beyond age 70. So I would say go ahead and begin taking that. And then is he continuing to work or is he fully retired?
Right. So he's 60. He'll be 70 in September. So I maybe said that wrong.
Okay.
He is working full time and he thought he would continue to work next year when he turns 70.
Got
until
it.
71.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, the good news is because he's beyond full retirement age, he won't have any kind of cap on the amount he can earn. And if he's knocking off any of what's called his high 35, his highest 35 years of earnings where he paid FICA taxes, then his benefit is going to continue to increase by him continuing to work. If any of those years from the 35 highest are lower than what he'll earn moving forward, including this year, then that check will continue to grow. But I think once he turns 70, he's capped out. Go ahead and start taking the benefits. And then the other way to increase it is to continue to work and through cost of living. And then I think for you to wait until at least full retirement age would be a good thing as well. You guys will be in good shape. So I'm on board, Sally. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Every day, we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Let's head back to the phones. We're going to go to Florida. Welcome, Barb. Hi, Barb. How can I help?
Oh, well, it's been an exciting few years. I've lost my husband, lost my son. And the only Social Security that I have right now is $1,038 a month. Where my home is, I own my home, but I have to pay lot rent. And that lot rent is almost $1,300 a month. So I started doing a clinical trial to get additional income. And the clinical trial just sent me a 1099. And they gave me over almost a few dollars short of $4,000 last year. My sister-in-law and friend is an accountant, has been doing my taxes, and she said that I'm likely to owe Social Security or something on the money from the clinical trial. My only income is my Social Security, which is $1,038 a month. And then I did, and last month, actually last year, it was only $1,010 a month. And then I probably, from my banks, I probably had $50 in interest income. And then I have the clinical trial for nearly $4,000. So I'm just curious, am I likely to have to pay money to them for this clinical trial?
Well, here's the reality is, the taxable Social Security thresholds are such that if your provisional income is below, as a single filer, $25,000, then you do not pay any tax on your Social Security. And the way you get to the provisional income is you add your adjusted gross income plus any tax exempt interest plus half of your Social Security benefits. So if you add all those together, then if it's under $25,000, then you don't pay anything. If it's between $25,000 and $34,000, then you would pay on up to half of your benefits would be taxable. Does that make sense?
It does, but in her researching it, because last year I made the clinical trial only gave me $1,600, and she found a place where it was excluded for a clinical trial under $2,000. But everything else she found indicated that was still going to be taxable income, even though my income was not enough to meet. Last year, my whole income with everything was $16,000. And that was including the couple thousand from the clinical trial. And I just got the 1099 for this past year. And now it's $4,000. And it's like, oh, dear Lord, how am I going to pay this and what am I going to need to do?
Yeah. Well, and so the standard deduction for 2024 would be, you know, $14,600. However, if you are age 65 or older, you add another $1,950. So that may be what she's getting at, is that, you know, that would be $16,550 would be the standard deduction. Are you going to be under that or over that?
Oh, I'm 75.
No, that 16,500. Will you make more than that?
Well, let's see. 12,000. I'm going to be right at about that. Because if you figure 1,000 10 times 12, that's math I don't have a calculator in front of me for. And then even if you figured that I had $100 from my investments, but I don't because I have like $800 in an investment account. And then I have the income from the clinical trial. And that's the only income I have. And I pay a tithe, but I don't do enough to do deductions and things.
Sure. Okay. Well, if your income is under the standard deduction and you don't add your Social Security benefits when determining your total income, then you won't have any tax. So if you add everything up and you don't get above the standard deduction, which for you is going to be $16,550 at age 75, then you don't have to worry about it.
And what if it comes to $17,000?
Then you would be above the standard deduction, and then on that portion, it would be taxable, and so that would include part of what you're getting the 1099 for. And so you would pay tax on that portion that goes above the standard deduction. And then to determine whether you're going to pay any tax on the Social Security, that's where you would have to use those thresholds to determine whether or not you exceed them. And, you know, if you don't, it could be that 0% is, you know, it's taxable at zero. If you get above the threshold, then it could be 50% or up to 85%. Sounds like you need to go see a tax preparer, and you could find somebody, you know, you could even do one online free at irs.gov. But that's going to give you the definitive information. But it sounds like if you do owe anything, Barb, it's going to be very modest. So I wouldn't be terribly concerned about it, but I would seek some professional counsel on it. I hope that helps. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Nashville. Hi, Lori. How can I help?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The SECURE Act is now SECURE 2.0 Act. My sister and I have been taking an RMD from a beneficiary IRA of our mom who died in 2012, and she was already taking the RMD. Are we still exempt under this SECURE 2.0 Act? I received a letter from my financial institution. I've read through it, and it kind of scares me because if you don't take, you know, there's that 10-year window that you have to take the RMDs of the entire beneficiary IRA, and we have not had to do that because we were grandfathered in. Are we still exempt?
So a non-spousal inherited IRA that you received in 2012 is pre-Secure Act. So was the person that you inherited this from already taking RMDs before they passed?
Yes. It was our mother, yes.
Okay. So if they had started taking the RMDs, then you just continue taking those RMDs for the longer of either your life expectancy or the original's owner's remaining. Usually the longer is yours. So this is what's called the stretch IRA. That's no longer available as of Secure Act 2.0. But because, you know, you inherited this and the passing of your loved one was prior to January 1st, 2020, that does not apply to you, and you can take this out over your life expectancy.
Okay, great. I just wondered if that 2.0 Act changed that. Okay.
It did not. Perfect. No, because of when you received it and when she passed, it does not apply here.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. You have a great day.
All right, and you as well. Thanks for your call, Lori. Well, folks, just a quick reminder, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we've got some great questions lined up in advance. Hey, before we head into this next break, let me remind you that Faith and Finance is listener-supported. That means we rely on your generous support to do everything we do on the airwaves, through our coaches and counselors, through our certified Kingdom advisors, and even in the FaithFi app. So if you'd consider a gift, we'd certainly be grateful. You can make a gift at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com and click the give button. Back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
We're going to talk about this further issue. Our response. Who's behind this?
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit? And all sorts of problems chained to greed and selfishness. Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go to Naperville, Illinois. Belinda, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I have a question. My husband recently passed in like June of last year. He was scheduled for a hearing with Social Security to see if he could get the Social Security disability benefits. And that hearing was scheduled in August, but unfortunately, he passed away in June. So I reached out to Social Security. It was like actually a customer service rep. She said, I probably need to go more in debt with a support agent at Social Security. But anyway, she told me that I wouldn't be eligible for any benefits, you know, any of his benefits, because I made too much money. And I don't intend on retiring, you know, for the next couple of years. So I was just curious if there are any benefits at all that I may be entitled to, you know, based on his work history.
Sure. It's a good question. I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing. You would be entitled to some benefits. Essentially, you would be eligible for either Social Security retirement benefits based on your own work record or survivor benefits based on your late husband's work record. And the key would be, you know, when you want to start taking those. You can begin taking survivor's benefits as early as age 60, but they are reduced by roughly 8% a year for each year you take them before a full retirement age. There's not an income limit on them, but your earnings, you know, may reduce your benefits if you've not reached full retirement age. So what is your age right now?
64.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so if you're below full retirement age, your survivor benefit is reduced if you earn more than the annual earnings limit. So in 2024, that would be $22,320. And if you earn above that amount of dollars deducted for every $2 you earn over the limit. So you would most likely, if you're earning, you know, you're still working, I would probably delay those benefits, not taking them early, not imposing that, you know, reduction because you're earning above that and not locking in that permanent reduction by taking them before full retirement age.
Okay. So if I continue to work before retirement age, I'll be eligible for the survivor benefits, including my own benefits at full retirement age?
No, you would get one or the other. You don't get both.
Okay. And then I have one more question. I have a term life policy for over $400,000. I got a call from the agent a couple of weeks ago, and she was suggesting, because of my age, that I can, take what's called, I think she said an index, or IUD, I think you call it. She wanted me to split that in half and put half of it in the index policy and keep the other half in the term policy. But I still have like almost 17 years left on that term policy. But she said it's because of my age, the premiums are going to go up. So she suggested that I do that now before my birthday, which is coming up soon.
Okay, but if it's a term policy and you have time left on it, the whole idea behind term is it's called level term because the premium is not supposed to increase while you're in the term. So explain that to me. Are you getting to the end of the term? Is that what's going on?
No, I still have like, what, I think 13 years left on the term. So I don't know why she just got the blue call and said that she was looking at a policy. Then she thinks it would be a good idea for me to, you know, split that in half, keep $200,000 in the term, and then do the other $200,000 with in the IUD or index policy. And that premium was like $400 and something a month, so that's too expensive. So.
Yeah, it's an IUL, an index universal life insurance policy. Keep in mind, and I'm not saying she is, you know, not acting in your best interest, but I will say that this is somebody who's probably compensated based on you taking out a new policy, and especially an IUL, which pays high commissions. So I think the first question is, do you need life insurance at all? You know, the purpose of life insurance during our working years is to, you know, be there to provide assets to our loved ones or dependents in the event that our passing and the loss of our income would create a hardship on them. But is there anybody that's counting on your income from you?
Well, no, it was just me and my husband. All of our children are adults, so it was just basically the two of us.
So I'm wondering if the best thing to do is not, you know, continue to pay on this and certainly not convert it to an IUL, but just to drop it altogether because it served its purpose. You know, it's kind of like car insurance or homeowners insurance. We have it to protect us and offset the risk that exists if we have a loss, but we hope we don't have to collect on it. And that's true here. You know, the Lord hasn't called you home yet. There's nobody counting on you for your income. If you passed away, you know, any debts would be paid, and then your assets would be available for either your heirs or to be given away to ministry. But there's not really any reason that I see, unless you see something different, for you to continue to pay any premium to life insurance at this point.
No, I don't, to be truthful. So that's why I said I think I need to, you know, until I, you know, talk to someone about it and make a decision. I didn't think that it would be feasible for me to do it either, but I just wanted to get some kind of confirmation that, you know, that I was in the right vein, that that wouldn't be a good idea for me to do. Because like I said, it is $400 and something a month for that policy itself. So that will put a big dent in my budget, and it's not worth it for me. So
what is your current premium?
It's $84 for the $425,000 term life policy. It's only $84.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, one option is you could reclaim that $1,000 a year, or you could just keep paying on it. And in the event you pass away, that'd be an additional $400,000 that would be available to your estate. You know, that would be up to you, but I certainly wouldn't convert it to an IUL.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you so much, Rob.
You're welcome, Melinda. Thank you for calling today. Bye-bye. God bless you. New Hampshire is where Ashley's located. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. Rob.
Hi.
My name's Ashley. My husband and I were calling in and wondering, we're going to be getting income taxes, and we have, you know, a couple kids, so we get about, you know, around $10,000. But we wanted to put it into an account, and I had emailed about this not too long ago. So I just didn't know if you had any suggestions.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to know just about, as you and your husband think about your goals and your priorities in light of your values, I'd love to know kind of how you guys are thinking about it. I mean, you know, some good ideas with any tax refund would be paying off debt, because you're going to get a guaranteed return equal to the interest rate, beefing up your emergency fund if you don't have 3 to 6 months expenses, increasing your giving, or opening an IRA, whether it's a Roth where you put it in after tax and you get tax-free growth, or, you know, getting a tax deduction by putting it in a traditional. I think any of those would be great options, very productive uses. But tell me how you guys have been thinking about it, and is there anything on your mind?
So we tithe regularly. So, okay. I mean, in my heart, it would be to maybe increase our, make like a larger gift for the year out of that. But we have friends at church who work with Primerica, and she's like introduced us to the idea of like a retirement, you know, savings, but we're 27 and 28. So that sounds really good. I just didn't know if it was like something practical for us, like today, you know, to start on, like, if that was a good decision.
Well, I think it could be a great decision, because I love that. Do you have retirement plans available at work, though?
He does not. No, I stay at home and he works.
Okay. And is he self-employed or W-2?
He is W-2 right now.
Okay. But they don't offer him a retirement plan, or he just doesn't qualify yet?
No, he started like building the company like with his boss right now. So it's grown a lot since.
Cool.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fruitfulness since he's joined there.
Good. Well, maybe they can add that down the road as an employee benefit. But in the meantime, what I would probably do, not to in any way minimize the company you mentioned, I will say their products tend to be a little on the expensive side. But I would love for you, now, if you have a relationship and you just wanted to do it there, great. The key is just do something. And I think getting this money into a retirement account of some kind where it can grow for the next 40 years and compound, you will be amazed at what this will become over time. And you using it on that, where it can be invested and you can own a small piece of lots of different companies inside a tax advantaged account like a Roth, where all the gains for the next 40 years are not taxable, and then you can pull it out tax free. That would be huge. And so what I would typically do is go to like Charles Schwab or Fidelity. It's like almost non-existent in terms of the fees, and then just buy like a faith-based investing mutual fund, or you could use a robo-advisor like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, and just get it invested in an index fund or a mutual fund that's actively managed, and just let it go. And, you know, that would be a very productive use of that. And I don't think it's too early to start. In fact, the power of compounding is most effective when you do it like you guys are thinking about.
Right. And that's what I've seen. Like, I mean, Fidelity has kind of like picked my brain about it, you know, like just kind of like giving them a call.
Yeah.
But on like on a chart, I've seen like if we start earlier and we stop, like you're saying, like compounding, like it will add up, opposed to like starting later and then you'll have to add up until like, you know, a further point, and it is less than if you started early. So yeah, that sounds good. Okay, I think you've encouraged me.
Well, it's so huge. I mean, like, let's just say this grows at, I mean, the market's done better than this, but let's just say it's 8% a year, and you know, we look at the compounding on this annually, even if you don't add anything else to it, I mean, you would have that $7,000 if you just fully funded one Roth IRA would be 150 grand when you guys are ready to retire. If you added nothing to it, I mean, it's just incredibly powerful. So yeah, I would do that, buy a good high quality mutual fund, two Roth IRAs. And if you guys could keep adding to them, you'd be really glad you did. God bless you, Ashley. Thanks for your call. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.